This sermon is the third in a four-week series on stewardship. The theme for this week is reimagine, and the scripture texts it reflects on are Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, and Mark 12, 38 to 44. So, the theme for this week, our third week on stewardship, is reimagine. And I want to start by noticing this part of our epistle reading that says, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever." It might seem a bit like a throwaway line, Paul kind of rounding off the incredibly inspiring theological vision he's been laying out for the Ephesians before he gets into the nitty-gritty of practical instructions that his letter goes on with. But in typical Paul style, he still manages to pack so much into a pithy soundbite. And let's notice that Paul here describes God as him who by the power at work in us is able to accomplish. And it's unfortunate that English doesn't mirror the Greek here, because in Greek the word for power and the verb is able are actually forms of the same word. It'd be a bit like saying that God, by his dynamism at work in us, is dynamic beyond all that we can ask or imagine. It's that sense of God's ability, an ability that is active and energetic, forcefully reshaping the world through the power at work in us. And that ability, that activity and energy, is at work in us. Now, I think that as modern Westerners, we still tend to think of this in a very individual sort of way. We think that when Paul says that God is at work in us, that means that he's at work in me and in each one of you individually, but that it is still very much a sort of a personal, interior, individual thing. But that's not how a first century Jew thought about identity or life or God at work. When Paul says in us, he doesn't mean primarily in each of us individually. He means in us as a group, as a corporate identity. God's dynamic work, energy, and activity is at work in us as a community, as a parish. The primary focus of God's work referred to here is not the personal depths of each person's heart, but in the life we create and share as a body. And this is important because it's this power, this dynamism at work in us, that is how God accomplishes abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. Through us working together, each using our gifts to be more than the sum of our parts. Now, when we think about what God accomplishes, what end all of this dynamism is directed towards, we come to mission. But we also come to the reason we have a church bank account, a budget, any financial giving at all, because those things, the money we put in the plate or give by direct debit, or the contributions of time and labour and things we make in kind, that is all part of how God's dynamism in us is expressed. Very few of you, perhaps none of you, could cover the expenses of everything we do together in a year, but together we can. Very few of you, perhaps none of you, have the resources on your own to fund a living expression of the reign of God on a scale that is abundantly more than all we can ask or imagine. But together we can. This is the point of being church together, God doing abundantly more than all we can ask and imagine, by God's dynamism at work in us and through us as a group, including the practical bits and the financial bits of our shared life. So much for Paul. I do want to comment briefly on our gospel reading as well. And we have a particularly tricky and often misused gospel reading today, because it's been all too easy for preachers down the centuries to talk about the widow and her offering in today's reading in a way which made it sound as if Jesus is saying, we too should put all that we have in the temple treasury. Or, you know, the local church's offering plate will do, and will ignore the fact that these two things are by no means equivalent. I'm not going to do that with today's reading. Because here's the thing. At different times, Scripture tells us to give all our money away, like last week, or to share all our money in common, which we often see in Acts, or to give liberally from what we have, which tends to be the more Old Testament vision. But the reasoning behind each specific example is the same. Use your money in faithful response to God and God's will for God's good creation. Use your resources to further the flourishing of your community and your world. The specifics of how we do that aren't as important as the intention behind what we do. Our instinct as humans is to protect our own survival, but God calls us out of our preoccupation with personal survival to a vision of something bigger, to participation in God's creation. When we can do that, respond to that bigger vision, and let go for the moment of our own egos and projects and the possessions by which we want to define ourselves, we step into something a lot more like freedom. The freedom, perhaps, that makes it possible to put all you have to live on into the temple treasury. That, I think, is the invitation to us in the story of the widow's offering. Not that we should copy exactly what she does, but that there's a freedom in knowing that I'm part of and held by something much bigger than what I'm letting go of. Mark doesn't use Paul's language, of course, but I think he gives us a very nice portrait of someone who knows the power at work within us to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. Someone who knows that power doesn't have to grasp or hoard or seek to be in control. The point is not to painstakingly copy the widow's actions, but to appreciate her sense of contributing to something God was doing in her community and her world. And then to ask what God's doing in our community and our world, and how we can best likewise contribute.